It's fantastic to welcome back to Static on 2SER. Ruben from Unknown Mortal Orchestra, g'day.
How's it going?
Okay, Aura, I should say, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
It's good to have you, and good to have an Umo record in 2018 as well. And it was nice to see that thing appear on the horizon. Was American Guilt almost the first curveball off the record? I felt like that was possibly the heaviest introduction to an Unknown Mortal Orchestra record we'd ever had.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was just, it seemed like a funny idea to put out this rock song that we've done. And we were recording it, and it got heavier and heavier as we were arranging it. And then,
yeah, it's blistering. It's finally your Hendrix moment, Ruben.
We just thought it might make some people angry and some people happy and stuff.
Is that song also your Trump reaction song, as this is your first post-election Umo record? There's the lyrics about when the meek can't stand still, even the Nazis bribe them.
Yeah. I don't really know. I suppose it must have something to do with a bit of that stuff, but I try not to think about Donald Trump too much because everybody's forcing you to talk about him all the time. But I think it's just like generally the way it feels in the United States at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of in that song, I think.
It's interesting to see that for this Unknown Mortal Orchestra record, you recorded in a variety of locations and pretty much everywhere but America for the most part. I remember reading that the plan initially was you were going to do it in Hawaii. But
yeah.
You've gone from Seoul to Hanoi to Reykjavik, Mexico City and Auckland to make this record.
Yeah, I suppose the idea was that I was going to move to Hawaii and make the record there. But
is your mum's there?
Mum's from there. I have a lot of family, or her side of the family are there. But a lot of her family are also in Portland, where I live. I don't know, we went to Hawaii and I did some writing there at the beginning, but it was too nice there. And I kind of wanted to go to some places that I'd always like wondered about, you know, certain tensions and political things. So I kind of ended up in Seoul because Seoul's close to the tension with North Korea. And like,
yeah, I know, you almost like bit off more than you could chew. In Mexico City, when you were there, there was an earthquake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, Jake said this, it's like when his dad texted him when we finally got coverage and we started to get texts, his dad was freaking out because we were stuck in the park and the cell phones went out for, I don't know, it must have been like 10 hours or something. And then he just said, you know, Jake just sent back, you know, like it's just another Umo day, you know, it's like, because it does seem like it is kind of an adventure, you know, we've had a lot of near misses in this band, you know?
Yeah, I know,
so
it's almost like, do you pay your bandmates danger money?
Yeah, well, I felt a bit guilty dragging Jake out to Mexico City and then the earthquake happening, you know, it's like, sometimes I think I should go to those places by myself. And
Ruben, does shifting environments that much to make a record, does that drag out the process or keep it fresh in your mind?
Definitely keeps it fresh because I mixed it still in my basement, which is where I made the second and the third records. And, you know, I can always do that. That's always there. And so I kind of have that, you know, place. But I think it just gets lonely. And sometimes I just need a little bit of a push to kind of make something new. So when I'm writing and arranging and stuff, it's quite nice to be able to go somewhere else. And, you know, it's like if you're going to go to New York and go to Electric Lady or something, it costs a lot of money. I thought, like, why
and that's
not?
Pretty sterile. Why not record in war zones and earthquake cities?
Yeah, why not spend the same amount of money and go somewhere you've never been before, you know?
And you were very candid about the lyrical themes running through the last album, Multi-Love. In the wake of that, did you have any regrets about how you put yourself on the line, you know, through detailing your relationships on that record? Did that inform your mindset for this Unknown Mortal Orchestra album?
Yeah, I think, I think what it was is I felt really grateful that I get to do, you know, this creative thing for a living. And, you know, I have this sort of dream job and it's what I really love to do. And I suppose I thought I owed the culture and fans of the band or whatever everything, you know. And I kind of think that I realized, like, all of the stuff is in the record. All of my thoughts and everything that happens to me, those things are in the record. I don't actually have to provide that much context. And it sort of steals the song away from people as well, because then you give them your, you know, story, and then
it's almost too much information.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think I just like I learnt my lesson.
But at the same time, it seemed that you had also realized that certain albums can document periods of your life. So at some point, you'll look back on that record and
I mean, it's still it's the way they've all been. I just think I spilled the beans the most on the third one, or maybe it was just that point where it seemed like people cared more to know. But it kind of gets boring because it's like everybody's going through stuff and they listen to songs and they project their own story onto the song, and then they get to make it theirs, and I don't want to get in the way of that, you know.
Well, this album finds you in the Ministry of Alienation as well, you know, where you can't escape the 20th century, so it's a lot more of a closed off kind of record in some senses. But then, you know, a song like Honeybee is about your daughter, right?
Yeah, that's my daughter's middle name, Honeybee.
So that's the love song. That's the parental love song for this album.
Yeah, I feel like I always write a lot of platonic love songs. Like, they're not all about romantic relationships, but they all sort of pretend like you could make it about you and your relationship, your romantic relationship. But, you know, I have songs like Funny Friends and these different songs that are about just about friends and or about family. Sometimes I'll have a relationship that's platonic and I'll add in something about kissing someone or something to make it seem like it's another relationship that I have. Then you have more love songs you can write when you do that.
Yeah. when you twist the truth a little bit.
Yeah.
And why Sex and Food as an album title, Ruben? Was that really narrowing it down to the essentials in life? Or?
Yeah, I think I just thought that it might get misunderstood. Like, I didn't want people to come to the album and think it was going to be heavy and political, because I think some people might say that it is. So I wanted something to kind of show how kind of simple and dumb I really am. So, and I think it, yeah, something about calling it Sex and Food made it seem more like true or something.
It also sounds like your future reality TV show. And looking back now, I mean, you're four albums in. What does Unknown Mortal Orchestra mean to you nowadays? Is it something very different than when you did the first recordings? Or, as you say, can you still always go back and be that guy in your basement and be in that headspace when and if you need to be?
I think I have to, like, kind of, yeah, go back to the same way I felt when I thought that I was just making music for myself. So I try to hack my own brain when I'm, like, doing things now, so I don't get thrown off by the pressures of, like, knowing that people in different countries will hear it and stuff like that. But it's hard. I think it's hard. It must be hard to start a band now. So I'm kind of like amazed that I have something that we're, you know, that has three albums that I can. All I really have to do is make part four of this story, rather than kind of like invent a whole career, which is, I think a lot of young musicians now have to do that.
And you've also got you've also got a crew around you as well now. I mean, Jacob has been doing a lot more producing in his own right outside of the band. This year he's done EMA and Sunflower Bean, and I notice your brother Cody's back on this one again, so you've got some people you can call on.
Yeah, I'm always trying to collaborate and stuff, but I'm just like a little bit, you know, introverted, and it's taking a long time for me to kind of reach out and kind of work with people. But yeah, Cody and Jake, I'm sort of like their biggest fan, both of them, you know, because Jake's made massive list of records that I really like, and Cody is like my favorite drummer in the world. But he's actually joined the live band as well now, because I'm kind of reinventing the live band for this year.
Fantastic. Well, you guys have got history on the road together already, so you know where the pitfalls are going to be, right?
Yeah, I think it was just something inspiring, because we used to get in fist fights and all kinds of stuff when we were kids, and we'd play in our punk band together. But I think it sounds exciting, because that's what I'm basing the whole idea of the touring band around, is me and Cody, like, getting our act together again.
I thought you were going to say basing it around you guys having a punch-up every now and then.
No, I hope not. No, we're trying to overcome those things, yeah.
All right, well, here's hoping, and it's going to be a long ride ahead, Ruben. And I'm also hoping that fans come to this album. I noticed a few months ago you did a poll online asking fans what their favorite records were, and it went in level of best from newest to oldest. So I think Sex and Food needs to supersede the last record. It needs to be number one next time you ask.
Yeah, that would be nice. It definitely is the most work I've put into something, and the most proud I've been of anything when I finished it. So I think people that like what I've done will like it.
We might have a listen now to How Many Zeros off the record, which is almost your Steely Dan moment. It's a super jazzy one.
Yeah, that was one that Jake and I worked on quite a bit. And I did a lot of that in Portland, actually.
All right, well, it's great to have you here. We'll see Unknown Mortal Orchestra live in Australia at some point, if you and Cody can hold it together. And here they are on Static. Thanks for the talk, Ruben.
Thank you.